welcome you, friends, to another edition of the Amber May Show. Joining me today is Tammy Lee, and she has such a heartbreaking story, but I think it's good that we get this out so we can see what some kids go through that are in the foster care system. Right now, we're being exposed to a lot of issues regarding children, and I think God is doing a work right now, and He's trying to expose the dangers that children are going through around our world. So it is up to us to start looking out and protecting the most vulnerable, and that's our children. So Tammy's story today is a story of hurt and a story of pain, but I think it's important that we know what could be happening to kids within the foster care system. I do say in this episode, not every child in the foster care system is in a bad home, because there are some wonderful families out there that just want to help a child. But with that being said, there is a dark side, and we're just going to share Tammy. Like, share, and subscribe, send us far and wide. If you believe in what I'm doing, please consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to be AmberMayShow.com. Hit the donate button and click on donate whatever you feel like going to donate. Or you can be a $5 monthly subscriber by going to theambermayshow.locals.com. That really helps support the program. So coming up right now is Tammy Lee. Like I told you, I have Tammy Lee joining us today on the show. I'm so grateful for her coming on the program, because I really want to drive this portion home about the safety of our children and what's going on with our children. And so she has an incredible story that she is willing to share with us. So welcome, Tammy, to the program. Thank you for coming on.
Hi, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
So, How was it like growing up? Like, wait, did you grow up in a happy home? Tell me about your childhood.
Well, for me, I would say that, no, I didn't have a happy childhood. I went into the DIFAS system in New Jersey when I was around two, I would say. A lot of the story is not really clear. A lot of my family, they all have conflicting stories. So I try to just kind of take a collective of what everybody says and just use memory and go from there. So I started about two. I was very young. No, I did not have a pleasant childhood. I did not have a good childhood.
When you were taken out of your parents' home, did you go to a relative or did you go to a stranger? How did that happen? Like, where did they place you?
The exact details of what happened in from the time I was taken, which I do remember the day that I was taken. But the details from there to when I actually was placed in my first home are really blurry. I do remember that day that I was taken. A lady had come into the home, basically just grabbed my sister and I by the hand, because it was my sister and I, both of us. Thankfully, we were kept together, but we were just basically put in the back seat of a car and drove away. So, you know, my last memory of my childhood home was out the back seat of a window. So the time
that saw your mother or father again.
No, I never really saw my father. He was a long haul trucker, so he was never really in the picture, never really home. And I think that had a lot to do with, you know, the reasonings behind what led us to be in foster care. So between that time of being taken and then being placed is really quite blurry for me.
Mm. Like, do you ever ask your sister? Because she was older than you, so does she have her memories?
That, you know what, that particular time, we've never talked about that. We always talk about the families we were with and the things that we had to endure, and As a young adult, nobody in my family really ever wanted to talk about it, let alone really acknowledge that it actually happened. So it's only been really in the last probably 7 years of my life, and I'm 45, so that's a long time, where I've gotten more of a story. So for a long time, it was kind of, I knew this happened to me. I knew what I went through. I knew what I saw. I knew what I, my sister and I went through, but I only had our memories. So it was very blurred for a long time.
Okay. What led you to being removed out of the home?
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you remember what happened that led you guys out of the home that had CPS come on in, come on in?
From what I'll say is that we were neglected at the time. My home life, my parents were very distracted. Like I said, my father was not around. My mom was out doing whatever it was that she was doing, and so there were concerns, supposedly from other family members, that we were not being taken care of, that we were being left alone, we were neglected, we were not being fed, and so I don't want to get too personal just in case somebody in my family does watch, but so one of my family members had called CPS to make a complaint, and so that's basically what led to us being removed from my mother, from our home.
I just wonder, I'm just curious, because if this was happening to me personally, I'd go to that person and I'd say, hey, why don't you just let them come stay with me? If you can't, if you know they can't handle it and you're noticing that there is something very unsafe in that home, just say, hey. And then may I wonder if your mom thought it, or I wonder if anyone even mentioned anything before calling CPS, because that's a big deal. The families that I have talked to that have been falsely accused of child abuse, their kids are traumatically affected. And even though it's been a few years, their kids are still very traumatically affected because they were in this home that they were, it was a loving home. They were in this home. And then all of a sudden they were with strangers they didn't even know. And I'm trying to put myself in that situation. I'm a little child. I would be terrified. Absolutely terrified because I'm literally with strangers I don't know, and you want me to live there? Terrified. And when you say family, let me ask you this. When you say family, are you talking about an adopted family that has adopted you? Or are you talking about your bio family from your mom or
Yeah,
dad?
my biological family. I think at that time in everybody's life, when I was a child and my sister was a child, people were just really busy with their own lives. And so things were going on and people kind of knew and kind of didn't, other family members. But again, it was just like, well, that's happening there, and I have my own life here. And so I don't necessarily want to get involved, And so, there were a few times where I had left the foster care to go stay with family and then went right back into the system. So, there were times where I would have those breaks from the foster to the family and then right back. I can say that honestly, though, for me, when people talk about transition, like you had just mentioned, hey, you go from a home where you know people to suddenly a strange home where you know nobody. I didn't have that luxury because every memory I've ever had has been from a stranger. It was always a stranger. There's always somebody else there. Somebody was being brought in, or somebody was that, at the time, there was a lot of boyfriends and a lot of friends and, being left here and left there. So for me, the transition into foster care was no different than what I had been experiencing. So that wasn't necessarily traumatic. I think by that time, by the time I entered into the system, I was used to what I was about to go through, not to the degree that I went through in the system, but I was used to basic neglects, and I was used to being abused, and I was used to being left alone. So that part of it was relatively easy, if that makes sense. The things that happen in the homes at, for foster care, magnify that by 10. And I always tell people when they ask me, I always tell them, I have stories that when I begin to tell you them, you're not going to want to finish it. That's how uncomfortable it's going to make you. And there's so many things that I have gone through that you only see in movies, you know? And so it's not often I get to talk about, I mean, even in relationships in my own life, you know, relationships, long-term relationships, even then I could not express what traumas I had gone through because people just could not handle it. It's almost like they didn't want to believe that that stuff had happened, you know? So.
No, like, so I've experienced that where people will shut me down, even if I'm not talking about something like super traumatic, but they just don't want to hear any of this negative stuff. I've been shut down, but I'm like, but this is important. This is what I talk to people all the time about. I get information out there because there's a lot of bad things happening in this world. And I think if you equip yourself and you know it's out there, then you can make better choices for yourself. But people shut me down. That's fine. It's all right.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other people that want to hear what I have to say. So that's totally fine. So what
Right.
are some of the things like how, so what kind of abuse did you go through? And what is the earliest age you remember going through abuse?
Well, I would say the earliest age was prior to foster care. A lot of the people that my parents had surrounded themselves with were not good people, and so you know, my sister and I were the sounding board for a lot of anger and for a lot of drug withdrawal. And so when things were not going right, and let me state this, my mother was never abusive. My mother was never abusive. The people that she was with were, and they had no problem being abusive with us. Not at an early age, not sexually or anything, but it was very violent, very, you know, a lot of physical abuse, you know, I don't think there's anything I haven't been hit with. There were, and this is before foster care. I've been thrown off of every wall you could imagine. I'm not talking about a child, you know, my sister and I. But it was not my mom, and usually it happened when she wasn't around, or when she didn't really know what was going on. So I just wanted to state that, you know, it wasn't my mother personally, it was everybody around us.
Wow. And did you ever share this stuff with your mom when she was around about what you were experiencing? Or were
No,
you just too afraid to say something?
I don't believe so. My older sister may have, and I think when you're that young, at least for me, I mean, nowadays it's so different. You know, nowadays, you know, every kid that's able to speak is complaining about something. But for me back then, I think it was more like, don't talk about it. And I'm talking young, 1, 1.5, 2 years old. I knew that to talk about it meant that it could make it happen again. And so I almost built up this thing where it was like, okay, you know, I know this is about to happen. It's going to happen. And then you learn to just kind of, it's part of your day. I hate to say that. Even as a child, even as a young child, that was part of our day was, when are we going to get food? Are we going to get food? When are we going to get hit? When are we going to get yelled at? You know, a lot of times food was given to us in bowls on the floor, and in our bedrooms, we weren't allowed to literally leave the bedrooms. And just, it was just like feeding a dog. Basically, it was like feeding a dog.
Wow. So when you moved to your first home, what was that experience like to you?
The first home, am I allowed to mention
You can
names, or
mention
should I?
whatever you want to mention, whatever you want to say.
One of the very first families I can remember, their names were the Rawlinsons. And I can actually still remember the exact layout of the entire house. We were young. I mean, I was probably 3. I was young. That was, I can't recall how long we were there because, again, as a child, I think you're in a time warp kind of thing. For me, it felt like ages, but it could have only been 6 months. That was that was when things went from normal, what I would consider normal daily abuses, to just very cruel, cruel, and I can't even explain. I mean, I can explain it to you if you'd like to hear it, but they were, the family was a very large family, actually. They were all extremely fat, so, pardon my French, but that's what I remember. It's just how massive these people, they were very large people, and they had two daughters, and they may have had a son that was older. I remember a male figure in and out sometimes, but two daughters, and the daughters did not like us and did not like us there. And so whenever they had the opportunity, they were very abusive to us. The parents were abusive as well. I don't remember having clothes very often.
Like they make you walk around naked all the time?
Naked or in just underwear.
Oh, wow. So you were sexually abused by this family?
No, that's the thing. No, no. It was basically we were taking care of ourselves at very young. We didn't have anything. We didn't go to these homes with like lots of clothes and lots of toys and coloring books. You know, it was like you got dropped off, and I remember it being like a bag, and
chooses to have kids come into their home. They get paid to have kids come into their home.
Yeah.
And they mistreat the kids. Like, what are you supposed to do at three? Are you going to wash your clothes in the washing machine? No.
No.
You're probably still trying to potty train, I'm guessing, at this point. I mean, who's going to teach you how to go to the bathroom? You haven't had anyone so far, like, probably teach you basic things like that.
Right.
And so this is angering me just this little bit. Just this little tiny bit about you not having clothes. Shame on them. I mean, and you said the abuse was worse at this home. Yeah, how so?
Absolutely. Besides kind of being locked in a bedroom where you're really not allowed out unless they let you out. So you're basically defecating on yourself, you know. We would pee wherever in the room.
Did they lock it in? So lock you in there? Yes. They locked you. You were a prisoner. Wow.
But at that young of an age, I mean, you don't know any. You don't know.
Yes.
You know, we just knew that that's where we were. You know what I mean? That's where we were. And there are instances where some family members have said that they did come to check on the house because they were concerned. They hadn't, Dykus was not able to locate us at the time. And, you know, there were a few times where some of my family members wanted to see us and Dykus couldn't find us. And so somehow, one instance, my aunt did find us. And so she went to the house to, you know, knock on the door to see if she could come in. And I guess nobody was home. The door was locked. But my aunt said, I can see through the kitchen door. And I remember the kitchen quite well. She said, and you and your sister were sitting on the floor with nothing but a pair of dirty underwears on the both of you, and you were in the bottom cabinet eating raw pasta. And she said, I couldn't get in, and I turned and I left, and I called Dyfus, and I complained and I complained, and she said it never got anywhere. But that family, they were just so cruel. So I remember one time they used to sit in recliners, one on one side of the room, one on the other side. There was a sliding glass door. And I remember MTV was on a lot. And so I remember coming out of the, and they had a wood stove too, by the one recliner. And I remember coming down the hallway, and for some reason I was trying to get their attention, and I upset them so much that the man had picked me up. And he said, and I remember him kind of shaking me a little bit, like a left and right kind of jarring thing. And he said, you're going to leave me alone. And he set me down on the wood stove.
Oh, man.
And luckily for me, it was hot, but it wasn't to where I stuck to it. So I had to pick myself up off the wood stove.
Ooh.
And I remember going back to my room, and I remember being in a lot of pain for a while. I couldn't sit. It hurt to walk.
To sleep. Hurt everything. He burnt you.
Yeah, luck. I mean, thankfully, like I said, it was warm, it was hot, but it wasn't scalding or to a point where, my skin peeled off or anything. But again, as a child, you're delicate anyway. You're a kid, and so, I remember another instance where the two daughters were doing something and they were in the living room, and I remember so bad that I wanted to join them. Whatever they were doing, it seemed like they were having a lot of fun. So they were going to their bedroom, and I remember trying to like go in and like I'm like pushing on the door to try to get in with them, and my hand was a little bit around it, and they slammed the door, and so my hand was caught in the door, and they wouldn't open the door. So I sat there with my hand stuck in the door, and I just sat there on the ground while, with my hand up, waiting for somebody to open the door. And I don't know how long I was there. For me, it seemed like an awful long time. I lost feeling in my arm,
Oh
couldn't feel
no.
my hand. And so, it's things like that I remember the most,
And when DFS, what did you call those organs?
Dyphus.
Dyphus.
It was
Yeah.
dyphus.
When they would they periodically come by the house?
I don't recall. I think maybe one time a lady had come, and of course on those visits things were fine,
Perfect, yeah.
they never really would talk to us. I think it was more they just did a walkthrough. I know that the one time that I can recall a lady being there, she was not there long, and I remained in the home of the Rollinsons, so I imagine that everything was fine on Dyfus's end. So
So I don't know if you're familiar with this, that there are a lot of people that are being falsely accused of child tra or child abuse, and they're not abusing their kids whatsoever. And so they remove the kids out of this loving home, and then they put them into foster care. And what I'm hearing you say is like there is a lot of places there where kids are still being abused, and the organization supposed to protect the kids aren't really looking after the kids, and so the cycle of abuse keeps happening where the original parents were just fine, weren't abusing their kid, but they removed them out of a great home and could potentially place them in a really terrible home. Like I said, I've known foster families that are great, but we also know there's a lot of foster families out there that are not. And this happened to you more than once, so many of the from what I'm gathering on your story, correct me if I'm wrong. So when you
Yeah.
move to the next home, there's still abuse going on, right? Or did you
Sure.
finally get to a nice home and you're like, oh yay, finally, this is great. I don't want to go.
No, I never had a nice home. And I was in the system till I was about 9 years old. So I had a good round, I would say. I grew up in the system. My next home, no, none of my homes were good. The only home that I can say that was relatively okay, she was a teacher and her name was Vicki Kempton. But she was very strict to the point where she was very strict. In her home, we had a bedroom, we had a bed, we had clothes. But boy, if you didn't do what she asked you to do when she asked you to do it, there was hell to pay. And I mean beatings and beatings. And there was never any, there was never any, and here's the one thing that I think bothered me the most about a lot of these people, and it sounds so stupid, but whenever there was a holiday, and this happened in every home, I don't think I knew what a holiday was until I got out of foster care. Do you know what I mean? Like I never understood presents or gifts or like all these people are gathering and we're stuck in a room or we're locked in a closet and we were never a part of like any of that.
Wow.
And so, there were a few times where I do remember going to visit my grandmother. And she would always have lots of things for us, lots of presents, lots of gifts. And it was a very strange thing because I loved it, I think, and I appreciated it, but I didn't, it's almost like I didn't want it, which is fine because a lot of times when we would leave, we couldn't bring it with us anyway. Do you know what I mean? It is unfortunate because, like you said, there are good homes out there. There really are. And there are people that want to foster kids that really need it. I think in the time that I was there, during the 70s and 80s, early 80s, things were very unset, and it was all about money and the money, and DIFAS was very much to blame for that. And the families went unchecked, and these families, they were horrible people. You know, when I say I, you know, locked in a closet for 3 or 4 or 5 days, we were, but it was so normal. It's so weird to say, but it was so normal for us that I can't even explain it, and there were times when we were actually taken out of those particular foster homes and then put into like family friends, and they were just as bad. They were just as abusive. So it's like the abuse never, ever stopped until I was finally out of the system completely. It never stopped.
You said something that is I found to be true. So there is a child trafficking organization through CPS, and Senator Nancy Schaefer did a great report on it, and you can find it at theambermayshow.com. Go to the resource tab, go to the child trafficking tab, and it doesn't necessarily mean sex trafficking, which does happen through CPS too. A lot of kids go missing. There's been stories recently about things like this. You can find it on the website on the resource tab. But without kids coming through the system, there's a whole bunch of people who do not get paid, including foster families, including judges and attorneys and social workers and DCFS people, CPS people. There's a whole
Psychologist.
bunch of people, and if no kids come in, they won't get a paycheck.
Sure.
It's
And that's
almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. They have to find kids in order to keep a job, which is
Sure.
really sad.
Yeah, and you're right, and it does feed a lot of people, and it does keep a lot of people employed, which is really a shame, kids are just a product of whatever machine or whatever you want to call it, but that's exactly what it is, I'm glad now, I'm 45, like I said, so I'm glad that now things are getting better, but there are a lot of people, and every now and again I'll go on and I'll read I'll look up DIFAS, which has now changed its name, of course, because they were sued by a guy that was in foster care, and he was the first guy to ever sue DIFAS and win the case of abuse, neglect. New Jersey did a whole, facelift of their, adoption and foster care and all that stuff. But there are a lot of people that went through that particular system that I was in New Jersey, the DIFAS system. And I'm sure their stories are just as horrific as mine. And boy, I wish I could just really talk to some of those people,
I don't know that it really got that much better. I really don't, because there's so many families that I've been coming across that have been falsely accused of abuse, and those kids are taken into a stranger's home. And there is no way, with the amount of kids that are taken. And I was part of a Christmas celebration for a there's a place that's a nonprofit that really sponsors a whole bunch of group homes, and they try to provide a lot of things for the foster kids. There were so many foster kids at this Christmas party at the bowling alley. It filled the entire bowling alley, and there was still kids that didn't show up, or homes that didn't end up making it. And I was trying to be happy and excited for these kids, but almost every single one of them looks super sad. And I was just thinking, wow, none of these kids have their families. And there was a whole bunch of them. And my heart started wanting to break. And I'm trying to be happy and trying to smile as we're like chaperones of this supposed Christmas party. And all the kids did get a gift, and they got some snacks and food. And, the adults appeared to try to help them have a good time. But none of the kids were super happy. None, not one. No. They really looked depressed and upset. Yeah. And I can't imagine that the system really has improved much since you were in it. I would like to hope so, but I don't know that it has, because you have this many kids, and if they didn't check on you back then, you think they're really going to check on all these homes? Now, maybe they have gotten better. I don't know, but I'm skeptical. I'm just skeptical.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know why, but I don't know. I don't know how to say this and make it make sense, but I find that offensive to me. I find it offensive that it's like you put on, I feel like they're putting on a show. Like, hey, let's have a Christmas party and let's have all these kids together and let's give them these gifts and let's give them little snacks and all this stuff. And I think it just reminds me of like a politician's campaign trail, you know, like, hey, look at us and look at what we're doing and look at all this great stuff that we're doing. And it's all fake. It's so fake. Those kids don't look happy because that's not what those kids want. You know what? You know what that reminds me of? And you know what? I was through a similar situation like that. Do you know what I thought about? Not about, wow, look at how great and I'm living in the moment. And oh, well, I thought about, this is a stark reminder of within 20 minutes, maybe a half an hour, I'm going back to a living hell. So, and you know what's funny is even when I was like young, like 6 or 7 years old, in my mind, I must have been born with an adult mind, because I remember thinking, you can shove this up your, you know, get me out of here. That's what I want, you know. The kids aren't happy because they're not where they should be, you know.
And I got to thinking there, I'm like, how many of you really don't belong here? How many of you do have good homes? Mm-hmm. How many don't have good homes? I don't came from good homes. I don't know. But none of them were happy. They were all depressed looking. And I couldn't believe how many kids were displaced. Yeah. Enough to fill an entire bowling alley. And the main group home that's trying to support these kids, their hearts are in the right place. Like the one nonprofit, because I know the guy personally, and he's a really solid guy, and he's trying to bring some joy to these kids. But I didn't see a lot of joy. I mean, they smiled here and there. I mean, there was moments, you know, they had some fun there. You know, they're bowling there. There was some moments, but overall, like major depressed. And I just wanted to cry the whole time. And I'm just trying to be happy with the kids and talk to them, befriend them, help them if they want bowling. Hey, do you want a snack? Would you like to eat? Like, I'm just trying to be like a hostess to bring some kind of joy for that moment. And I just left and I just wanted to cry so bad, like the whole time. It was so hard for me. And I'm like, it's hard for me and I'm fine. Like, I'm in a good place. But my heart was just like wrenched with how sad when you looked at these kids' eyes and there was just sadness behind their eyes. It's like, that was really, really hard to see that. And so I'm glad that things are being exposed right now. I think God's doing a movement. He had the video Take Care of My on Netflix that exposed the medical kidnapping that's happening across the nation. It's being exposed about like California is trying to take kids out of homes that belong to great parents just because they don't want to affirm their kids' sexual identity. Well, that's not the state's problem. That belongs to the parents to figure that out with their child. But they want to remove the kid out of the home. And then what? Put him where you were at? I mean, maybe they'll be a good family. Like I said, I do have friends that were great intentions, but how many of those compared to the others? I have no idea. All I know is like you tell me these stories of what happened to you. And this is like, I bet you that's a little bit more common than those great parents that just really have a heart to reach out for the kids.
Yeah. I mean, I have to agree with you. You know, the things that are going on, you know, with kids and with our kids when it comes to losing power as parents, you know, you know, teachers in schools have power, you know, nurses in hospitals have power, you know, anybody basically, and I feel like has more power than you do with your own child. I'm not a mother. I'm a stepmother, but I consider myself a mother. My son is my son, okay? And I would be damned. And we've had our issues where things have gone awry in the schools, and I was in fear that they were going to come and try to take my kid. And I'm like, there is no way. And I would tell Mike, there is no way on God's green earth that that would ever happen, because I lived it. I lived it. You know, and there was a moment in time where the school had manipulated my son to where he was not even mentally or emotionally recognizable to me. And he would say to me, well, if you say that, then I'm just going to go and I'm going to live in foster care. And I'm like,
You don't know what you're saying, young man.
and I said that to him. I said, Michael, don't you ever say that, because you have no idea the things that you wish for. And if you think that it's all fun and roses, like your teachers are telling you, I can tell you a totally different story. Don't ever say that to me again. You know what I mean? And it was, I'm not going to say triggering. I hate that word, triggering, but it was like, to me in my mind, I was like, where did you even learn this? What's happening? And then when I delved in deeper to what was going on with my child, this is during COVID, this was stemming from the teacher, his teacher, that school, and a lot of the things that they were allowing to happen. And I was livid. And thankfully, Mike and I had a fight, but we fought through it and we prevailed. But my poor kid had to go away for a week, and get his head checked and get mentally right again, because he was so screwed up.
And your kid wasn't the only one, because when I was trick-or-treating that during that time, I came across a therapist, and she was just telling me how many kids were so suicidal during that time frame. And I'm just thinking, look at all this abuse that happened to our kids, through not being able to do anything, taking them away from all their friends, all their activities, the big milestones, taking so much of their fun away from them. And this therapist was just like, I have parents every day crying on the phone, and I can't take any more kids. I cannot take another patient, and having to turn them away. And I was just like, wow, that would be a horrible feeling to feel like, because you're only human. You can only do so much. You're not God, you're limited in your capacity. And when people are coming at you crying because they're scared their kids are going to take their life, that is hard to deal with. So going back to your story, so that family, just it was every day some type of abuse. Did that woman, the mom in the home, did she abuse you too from the first home you were in?
Oh, sure, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, they all did. They were all allowed to, so they all did. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so when you went to school, did you say anything to your school teachers? Did they notice anything about you?
I don't recall going to school.
Really?
I do not. And the funny thing is, I have a really crisp memory of a lot of things that happened from when I was even in diapers. I do not recall school. Probably
Wow.
not, maybe not until I was with the teacher, Mrs.
Interesting, because you
Templeman.
would think DIFAS, right? State custody, right? They're going to look
Yeah.
out for your best interest. You would
Yeah.
think they would make those parents get you into school or check
Right.
and see if you guys were enrolled in school.
Right.
I
But
mean,
now, don't get me wrong, we could have been, but there's
yeah.
not one single memory at all. And I think if I had gone to school, think eventually somebody would have said, whoa,
You would think.
this kid is starved. This kid is covered head to toe with burns and bruises and cuts. And, there's no way to hide that, when it's head to toe. And so maybe that's why I wasn't in school.
So, do you know what made you move to another home? Are you familiar? Do you have any idea why you moved homes over and over again?
Excuse me. I really don't. I don't know if it was like a decision on the foster care, like, hey, we're ready for some new kids. Hey, we don't want to do this anymore. I really don't know. I wish I had more information on that. I don't know. I know throughout the time that I was in foster care, the last probably 4 or 5 years, my grandmother had become very, very active and was trying to get us out of the system. So I don't know if they were starting to move us because my grandmother was starting to come after us, and she's a bulldog. At the time she was, a CEO of a major company. She had a lot of money and a lot of power. And so I think that, that could be one reason because she started to get very nosy and was trying to get us out of the system. And so they were dodging her as well,
Think about that for a second. Isn't that a form, if that really was what was going on, which could have been very likely? Doesn't that sound like child trafficking to you?
Well, yeah. Because people think child trafficking is just when you take a child and you move it out of the country, right? Or maybe out of the state. But it really isn't. You know what I mean?
There's
And
an
so I
exchange of money
it's
for a child.
right. My grandmother actually had to get a lawyer and sue the state of New Jersey and sue DIFAS to get custody of us. They would not release us to her. And so I think she said she spent just over $250,000 fighting to get us out of the foster care system. And we were actually going through the adoption because on the back of my birth certificate, it's stamped the adoption portion. So they were trying to adopt us out. And so
Did you know that there, well, in the 90s, maybe this didn't happen for you, but in the 90s, when Bill Clinton came into office, they made like a bonus money for the states who adopt out kids out of the foster care system.
I
So that
didn't,
probably didn't
yeah.
apply to you because it was before Bill Clinton came into office, but
Right.
who knows? What if there was something behind the scenes like that?
I'm sure there was,
So, like, that's crazy to me. These families are not treating you well, and then they're going to adopt you. Clearly, it doesn't feel like they really even want you there if you are with foster parents that aren't even treating you right. And so that is a crazy idea that some of them wanted to adopt you.
I don't think somebody in particular wanted to. I think they were just moving us from one division to the next,
Okay.
because it was like adoption division. It was like, okay, let's put them into this pool now because, I mean, luckily my sister and I were always kept together. Thankfully,
That
we
is
were
a
always kept
blessing.
together. Yeah, which is amazing. I can't share every experience that she had. I don't know. I know a lot of things happened to her, separate unto myself, that were very damaging. We both, and I always tell her, you and I had the same childhood. We grew up the same. And so I think there were a lot of things that maybe did happen to her that I was unaware of because for her, there's a lot more damage done. Like mentally for me, like I'm pretty good. Like I'm good. But not so much for her. But isn't it amazing how they wouldn't just give my grandmother, they wouldn't just say, oh, wow, great, this is wonderful. Here's a family member, the paternal grandmother. Here you go, this is wonderful. No, she literally had to sue them to get custody of us,
That should
which.
have been her the first go-to. Like, oh, great. Okay, wonderful. Now those kids are done, taken care of, off our books. Let's move on. That is so insane. Like, I'm so angry for you, and it's not even my life. And that should have been the go-to, because that's actually been common with everybody that I've talked to in the CPS world. They didn't go to any relative or family member that the kids knew. They went to a complete stranger. And that's really frustrating, and that gets you angry. Wow. So far, that's been my experience talking to the families that have been in this involved in the system. That's insane. So, how many homes were you in before you left the system at 9?
Say about eight. about eight. I did spend a little bit of time with my aunt, but then I was put back in. I think that was like a temporary thing, like a trial run. Didn't work out so well, so I went back in. So there was about eight places, locations all together, you know.
You said something about the school teacher, and I interviewed a veteran, a retired school teacher, and she said she remembers when she was a student teacher, this one teacher very abusive to her students. And she was like, how come no one's reporting her on this? And it was kind of like the answer she got is everyone just kind of minds their own business. Nobody gets involved because then it's a really big problem. Like, that's not a great answer at all. You know, if we as adults are seeing any kind of abuse of children, to turn a blind eye is the worst thing we could ever do, because we're just as complicit at that point.
Right.
Evil prevails when good men do nothing.
Right. And it's important. I don't mean to interrupt you. I think it's important for you to recognize what, especially nowadays, what is actually abuse and what is orchestrated. You know, for me back then, you know, we didn't have things like internet. We didn't have things like cell phones and TikTok and all this bull crap. So there was no influence. So if I'm being abused, I'm being abused. There's no, maybe she's faking it. Maybe
right.
Nowadays it's really difficult because, and I hate to say this, but it's almost like a thing, like a, it's almost like you're popular on TikTok if you're a kid and you're messed up in the head, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, and I know, and I see it so often, and I'm like, I know when a child is abused and when a child is going through something versus someone who's doing something for attention, or they're mm-hmm. doing it because it's like all their friends are doing it on social media, or they just want to leave their parents' home because they don't want to deal with the rules, you know. And I see a lot of cases. My parents, when my mother got her shit together and she remarried and she had children, you know, she was amazing. But as karma would have it, she had two more daughters. There was an instance with the school, and they tried to take my niece and my sister away from my parents because the teacher claimed that there was child abuse. And in fact, there wasn't. And it was just a whole huge, big mess. And it just opened up this whole can of worms and memory. But it was also a reckoning of how much power schools have and principals have. I mean, they stripped my niece down naked in the bathroom of the school, and the principal took pictures of her naked in a bathroom stall. Nobody was called except for a CPS worker after the fact. And what happened was my sister and my niece, they were playing with, you know, when you're a kid, you got like those little water, like body tattoo things, you know, like you get them in like gumball machines or whatever. And they were playing their makeup thing. And so they took showers, they went to bed. Well, I guess a little bit of the ink had been left on because it kind of stains a little bit. And so a teacher just grabbed my niece's arm and she's like, what is this bruise? What is this bruise? And my niece is like trying to explain to her, you know, it's just a little tattoo like thing. And she was drugged out of class, drugged into the bathroom, stripped down naked, photos taken, principal, a male principal was there. And it was a horrendous ordeal. And we almost lost my sister and my niece to the system. And it was just horrendous how immediately, but to go back to the point of, you've got to be able to really identify actual abuse and kids being kids, or nowadays kids just doing things for attention. And I'm sorry to say that, it might hurt, but that's the truth, you know? Yeah.
So was it your grandmother that finally got you out of the system?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
And what was that like once you finally got out of the system? How was that for you?
That was, I can't say life-changing because obviously it was, and that doesn't hold any weight to what I experienced. To me, my grandmother was like a movie star. She was fancy and beautiful, and she smelled good, and she had a beautiful home, and it was incredible, and it was amazing. And So one day we go from having nothing to having everything. You know, my grandmother had bought a house and we had bedrooms and we had beds and we had clothes in our closets and toys, and it was incredible. Oddly enough, for me, not my sister, for me, it was a very easy transition. I think at 9 years old, I realized how lucky I was, and I was forever grateful. And I never, my sister took it very differently. She acted out as a young adolescent, as a teenager. She went in a very bad direction. Me, I was just, I think I was just so grateful. My grandmother was amazing. You know, she made me who I am. She taught me everything, and to this day, and I actually take care of her now. And I used to always tell her, even as a little kid, I would tell her, "Nan, someday I'm going to return the favor, you know, and I'm going to take care of you." And so, sorry. Sorry.
She did something amazing for you. She
I'm
released
sorry.
you from all of the torture you've
She
been
did.
in.
She did. I'm so
And
sorry.
for you'll always be there's no way to not be grateful for that. I mean,
Sure.
if I
Sure.
was in your situation and finally had a rescuer, I would
Yeah.
forever be indebted to them. Like, I would forever be grateful
Oh,
to that
forever.
person.
Forever. I mean, she is my person. I take care of her now. Just bought a house so that I can make an in-law suite because she's getting, you know, she's older.
Sure.
But for years I've done everything just to take care of her. A little bit of this, a little extra this. She need a new TV. And I always told her, "Nan, I'm always gonna take care of you. You will never have to worry about ever being in a nursing home. You will never have to worry about anybody forgetting about you or not taking care of you. Because even though you're my family and what you did for me, you didn't have to. You didn't have to. You didn't have to give me what you gave me. And so now I get to give it back. And it's such a gift for me. It is such a gift. Even though she's my grandmother, she's family, you're supposed to. But it's so much deeper than that for me. And it's just, it really is just such a gift, I feel. To do that.
It's tough, you know, just hearing stories of people going through abuse and how it could really wreck their life. It emotionally damages them, mentally damages them. And there's always restoration, and I always feel like there's hope for people. And I've been in a place of severe hurt, not because of abuse, just because I've lost so much, so many loved ones, children. And that really, it just tears you up when you keep losing babies and then you keep losing loved ones around you. And I was in a really dark place and I understood the temptation of wanting to drink every day. And I didn't, not because of my power, but God really had my back at that time. And I hated him and I was angry and I wanted nothing to do with him. And then one day, God really came to me. When I really, I don't know, I guess I was ready to hear what he had to say. I'm not sure. But the words he said transformed me completely. And if anyone is out there that has experienced anything of close to what you've gone through, and you're ready to get released from all of that hurt, you just have to reach out to God. And I know from experience, he's willing to take all that hurt away, and you're gonna feel so different. And there's a lot of testimonies out there. I just witnessed last week two videos of two girls who've gone through sexual abuse and where that took them in a really bad place. But they had this encounter with God, kind of like I did, and it changed everything for them. So if anyone's listening, gone through a tenth of what you've gone through, that would be where I would say, here's your go-to, because I don't know of any other place to go to except that. Tammy, I want to thank you so much for coming on our show today, being brave to share your story. It's not easy to share, you know, our pains and our hurts. So thank you so much for doing that today for us.
I do appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on and just giving me just 5 minutes of, hey, this is what's happening. And I love what you do, and I support everything that you do. And so anytime you need me, I'm only a phone call away.
And just, I want to give someone like a go-to step or something. So if there's anyone that's listening that is has any kind of involvement whatsoever, like a child is in a foster care home, or a child is acting out, or a child's hurt, or anything related to your story, what would be your advice to them really quick as we wrap up?
I would have to say patience. Just be open-minded and be patient and be willing to take in their emotion as your own.
That's good advice.
I hope that's good. That's how I would handle it.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you. So you take care, my friend.
Thank you, Amber. I appreciate you so much. Thank you.
So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AmberMay.
Looks like you've been sleeping well.
Megan, he's back. The My Pillow guy.
And you're looking good.
Still feeling good.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, we've got the best pillow ever, My Pillow 2.0.
The best sleep just got even better. Whether you have a MyPillow or not, you need to get the brand new MyPillow 2.0. Call or go to MyPillow.com now. Use your promo code, and for a limited time, when you buy one, you'll get a second one absolutely free.
What if I told you that there was a beauty product that also helped block fat? Would you be interested? I know you would, because it's something I'm interested in. The older I got, the more wrinkles that are showing up on the forehead, under the eyes. I got this Timeless box. It's amazing because the oil goes on after I clean up my face. The oil goes on and it helps with wrinkles. It helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. It's great for deterring insect bites. You gotta try it. It's amazing with that. And it's super easy. You just put it on your face, and it just helps with any kind of skin issues you might have. Not only does the oil do that, but it also blocks fat. So put a dropper in your mouth right before you have a meal, and you could be stopping fat right before the get-go. So if you want to lose weight and you want to have a beautiful looking face, or if you have skin, anything, a skin that you're just like, I don't like this, then get the Timeless Pack at thetimelesspack.com. Use my name, Amber May. Use promo code AmberMay and save almost half off on the Timeless Pack. So that's thetimelesspack.com, promo code AmberMay, and save some money for getting your wrinkles and fat loss. Thank you for joining us today on the Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at the Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Socially Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on the Amber May Show.